Shirley Caesar, a gospel singer from about 40 years ago, sings a song titled "Hold My Mule." It tells the story of an 86-year-old man named John who joined an upright, spiritually dead church. Now, from the moment that John joined, his presence disturbed the entire congregation. He would come in every week, singing, shouting, and dancing. And as the sermon was being preached, he would dance his way through the pews and around the sanctuary. Everybody raised their eyes in disapproval. Now, for the sake of the congregation, the deacons decided to intervene. But John couldn't be contained. When they held down John's legs, his arms would flail. When they held down his arms, his legs kicked out dancing. And after church one day, the deacons, they talked among themselves. "Didn't John know that we don't act like that in our church? Didn't John know that there are dignitaries and all sorts of important people in our church?" The deacons decided that something had to be done. So they drove out to John's place in their fine cars, their BMWs and their Mercedes and whatnot. And as they pulled up into John's ramshackle house, they found him out plowing a field behind an old, beat-up mule. They walked out to talk to him. As they approached, John said to them, "I know why you've come out here, deacons. You've come out here to tell me that I shout and dance too much in church." One of the deacons replied, "That's right, John. If you don't stop shouting, if you don't stop dancing, we're going to have to put you out of the church." John looked at him and said, "Well then, you're going to have to put me out, because I can't hold my peace. Let me tell you why. Look at all that land that you just drove over. God gave me that land. Look at my children. God gave me all my children. Not one time have I ever been to the courthouse on their account. Not one time have I been to the cemetery. But you don't want me to shout in your church. Look at me. I'm 86 years old, and I'm still able to walk behind this old mule. I'm still able to harvest my own crops. But you don't want me to sing or shout or dance in your church. Well, deacons, if you don't want me to shout and sing in your church," and this is where the title for the song comes from, "Hold My Mule, because I'm going to sing and dance and shout and give thanks to God right here." John, you see, had heard the good news. Not only had John heard the good news, he believed it. And John was going to share the good news no matter what anybody else thought. Many years ago in our church in Moton, there was a man named Fred Wenzel. Now, Fred was as animated as John. often interrupting the pastor to offer praise for God. Honestly, I'm embarrassed to say that Fred's outburst made me uncomfortable. But when he passed, there was something missing on Sunday morning. The good news was important enough for Fred that he had to share it. Both John and Fred found the good news important enough that they wanted to share it with whoever they met, wherever they met them. I think sometimes we miss the greatest opportunities to proclaim the good news to everyone because we have blinders on that keep us from seeing and connecting with the people around us. And I'm also embarrassed to say that our churches often fall short in reflecting the communities in which they're located. Sometimes, even if we don't realize it, the community feels excluded or rejected because of things that may have happened in the past or because of preconceived notions that they might have. But the scripture passage today reminds us of the call to an every member commitment to witness to everybody we can in every way that we can. And so I ask you, how can we do that unless we seek new ways to reach out and to challenge one another to open our eyes and our hearts even wider? Now, had our readings for this morning started earlier in chapter 10, Peter receives a vision in verses of 11 to 16. You see, God was already breaking down the obstacles in Peter's life by showing him this vision. You see, up until that point, Peter had been strictly keeping Jewish law. The vision was to show him the fulfillment of the law, that through Christ, all things could be made clean. There were rules about not eating certain food, about the way that food had to be prepared and consumed. And after Peter had received that vision, Cornelius received a vision as well. And he calls for Peter to come to his house. Now, Peter is not supposed to either eat or go into the home of a Gentile. And when he gets there, upon entering the house, he's greeted not only by Cornelius, but by his whole family, his household staff, and yes, even some friends. And then Cornelius shares the story of his vision, that he was to call for Peter. And Peter recognizes that God shows no partiality, but accepts everyone of every nation. Now, in Greek, nation means race. And he begins to share a message centered on the good news. God loves everyone. Now, this is a powerful message. Even today, or should I say, especially today, when we take sides and we feel comfortable with our peers but are unwilling to share life with those who look, who love, who speak, and yes, even who think differently than we do. God loves us all. He has no barriers, and He invites us to do the same. Now, if you look at verse 17 in Acts 10, you find that Peter was initially confused by the vision that he had received from God. It wasn't until the men sent by Cornelius came and told Peter that Cornelius wanted him to come. And Peter had the courage to show up, to show hospitality to them by accompanying them. You see, he listened to the prompting of the Spirit, and then he understood the point of the vision and the message of love, even across differences. So at this point, I'm wondering, well, how do we do that? Us here today. How can we step out and try to connect with somebody who might be different from us? Even if they don't really understand what God's trying to do. Or at least not understand it at first. I remember as a Boy Scout, we'd get all these old sayings, you know, and one of the sayings that our scoutmaster told us when we were at scout camp one summer was we had gotten in a disagreement with another scout troop that was at camp at the same time. I can't remember even what it was all about. It was, you know, of no consequence, I'm sure. But Mr. Leinbach, our scoutmaster, said, "Don't be critical of someone else until you've walked a mile in their moccasins." And sort of, in some ways, that's the message, isn't it? Don't be critical of others until you've been where they've been, or seen what they've seen, or had done to them what's been done to them. Do you know how hard that is? Believe it or not, when a pastor is preparing a sermon, there's all kinds of thoughts roaming around in there, and I was struck with my military experience that, you know, when something was happening, there were no Democrats in foxholes. There weren't any Republicans either. It could be two guys in the same hole just hoping to get through what they were going through. Now, not everybody has had a foxhole experience. Thank goodness. I don't recommend them. But the message is the same. We're all on this road of life together, and we're all trying to do the best we can. And your best may not look like my best. And conversely, my best may not look like your good best. Your best. But somehow or other we can still get along. Somehow or other we can still love and respect one another. And so what happens to Peter and Cornelius and all the people assembled? You know, there were Jews, new believers, who accompanied Peter. You know, sort of like the posse going along to protect Peter, because they didn't really know what they were getting themselves into. And there was the family and household staff and the friends of Cornelius that were there as well. And when Peter shared the good news, and the Holy Spirit came upon all of those people assembled, Peter asked, "Hey, is there any reason why these folks should not be baptized? For the Holy Spirit's come upon them just like it did for us." And so he baptized them all. And then Peter remained at the house of Cornelius for several days. And I'm sure during that time there was more sharing that went on as they learned to know and, I think, love each other. So what made this work? Well, I think God made it work. The Holy Spirit made it work. But it also worked because both Cornelius and Peter had the courage to act on the vision that God had given them. I sometimes think that we get too comfortable in our own little community, and maybe we don't know what's really going on around us. In order for us to connect with those outside the church, we must go outside and talk with people that we might not know. For we can learn from them, and they can learn from us. The good news is for everyone, and we're called to share it with others. May it be so. Amen.